You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome back, everybody, to the BadgerBlitz.com podcast. Of course, powered by Overtime Media. I am Jake Kokorowski. Here in Madison, Wisconsin, but in just less than 48 hours, I'll be making my way to Chicago. Number 18, Wisconsin, taking on number 12, Notre Dame. A big non-conference matchup, another top 20 matchup for Wisconsin, who comes into the game with a 1-1 record. We're starting things off right off the bat here. Really excited to talk with them from our friends, our cousins, you know, Blue and Gold. They cover Notre Dame for the Rivals.com network. We got Patrick Engel on there. Patrick, how you doing, my friend? And quite a matchup ahead on Saturday.
Yeah, doing well, Jake. Thanks for having me. And you know, nothing like a big time September non-conference game. One of the more underappreciated parts of college football season when you think about the playoff and all the rivalry games in conference and whatnot. So this is a year later than expected, but who cares? It's here.
Exactly. And of course, you know, they rescheduled the game at Lambeau Field for 2026. You know, hopefully I'm still around on the beat for that, because I've been up to Lambeau and covering a college football game back in 2016 when Wisconsin faced LSU. And that was quite the festive environment between the two fan bases. It's going to be, in my opinion, could be a really intriguing matchup down in Soldier Field. My first time covering a game at the home of the NFL's Chicago Bears. But, you know, we're talking about Notre Dame. They're coming in 3-0. Top 15 program. Everyone knows about Jack Cohn. We'll talk about him in just a little bit, but just through the first three games, they could have been 1-2 with that, you know, overtime win against Florida State on the road, but then also against Toledo, you know, Jack Cohn, again, we'll talk about him later, pops back his finger, throws a game winning touchdown pass. The lore of Jack Cohn in South Bend starts there. But what are your thoughts on this Notre Dame program three games in?
Yeah, like you mentioned, the could be 1-2, or at least very close to being 1-2, I think is a good backdrop for how a lot of fans seem to view this season, and really even just from a removed point of view this season of 3-0, but kind of with a nervous laughter backdrop where you still kind of wonder, like, all right, how good is Notre Dame after you've seen some of the close calls, and then what some of those teams have looked like since those close calls, especially Florida State. 0-3 and losing to Jacksonville State and getting hammered by Wake Forest, and then Toledo putting up 6 points against Colorado State at home. And 3-0 with nervous laughter, though, I think is a lot better a spot for Notre Dame to be in than 2-0 with like legitimate real concern. And it kind of got to that point with a, you know, not completely crisp, but a lot more good than bad win over Purdue, where you saw the defense cut out a lot of the big plays it had allowed in the first two games and really be able to generate the consistent havoc it had even in the first two games. But that's finally more noticeable when it's not kind of getting negated by some big plays. So a lot really to learn here about Notre Dame as a team and really just what it has and what its ceiling is after a revealing 3 weeks, maybe not in necessarily the most comforting ways.
Yeah, I feel that way with Wisconsin through its first two games, where it should have won against Penn State in my eyes if they convert on at least one more red zone opportunity. They were 1-4 within the Penn State 20 in terms of actually scoring points there. And, you know, I think it's going to be a statement game for both programs to see where they are heading into the rest of this season. And for Notre Dame, though, Jack Cohn has completed just under about 63% of his passes, over 800 yards passing, 4-1 touchdown to interception ratio, 8 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. We talked about his game-winning touchdown pass against Toledo, but what have you seen from your perspective about, you know, Jack and what he has done in South Bend so far in terms of what he's done and, you know, has he carried the offense in your eyes?
You know, coming in when Notre Dame got him, I liked the addition and thought there was a chance he could be more than a game manager label that I think kind of Wisconsin quarterbacks publicly get, whether that's fair or unfair, that just seems to be kind of what it is. And that's largely been true, where in a way he has kind of carried the offense, especially in that opener against Florida State where he threw for 366 yards and four touchdowns. And that's, I don't know that that's necessarily the healthiest thing, just considering that Notre Dame hasn't been able to run the ball, and they want to be able to, considering it has as skilled a backfield probably as you'll find anywhere, and it just has not been able to block for those guys in a consistent manner. But Cone has been a big reason why they're sitting here 3-0, even if you want to pick all the holes in that, which is more than justifiable. He's come up with some big throws and been reliable in a big moment where you needed a big play. And we saw that against Florida State, saw that in that last drive against Toledo. I think right now Notre Dame's offensive strength that they've really leaned into, even last week where they didn't complete them but sought them out, is wanting to push the ball down the field, which not at all what it tried to do last year and not really what Cone did a whole lot of at Wisconsin. And I think that's going to be a big thing for if Notre Dame is going to be able to beat Wisconsin and just put up enough points, is can he hit some, just a couple of shot plays down the field and just to be able to get into the high teens or low 20s, which feels like it might be enough to win this game. But yeah, I think it's been a lot more good than bad, even in the win over Purdue, which is probably his worst game, where he's just never quite in sync with his receivers, either throwing to the wrong shoulder or missing a little bit high, and then a couple of drops didn't help him out either. But it's still a big deal with what he's been able to bring as far as verticality to an offense that didn't really have it a year ago and now needs something like that without really a consistent run game at this point.
Now, look, going into the defensive side of the ball, obviously, Marcus Freeman takes over as defensive coordinator and has a unit that's given up just under 27 points per game. Big output against Florida State had a big output rushing wise, 264 yards. The rush defense has been cleaned up a bit, with only allowing 124 yards and 57 yards respectively to Toledo and Purdue on that end. But there's also obviously an All-American in safety, Kyle Hamilton, which, you and I talked about it in our Q&A. He is fun to watch on film. Just what is your assessment so far of the defense and just what it could bring on Saturday?
Yeah, I think that was a really important development for Notre Dame on last weekend in beating Purdue, just to be able to have its defense clean up some of the bad angles and missed tackles that led to a lot of those big plays that we saw in the first two games, and really just to give them some kind of thing that it thinks it can lean on as it goes into a pretty tough stretch of the schedule. And as it goes into two games where you think they're going to be low scoring and you're going to need to get stops and you're going to want to put teams behind the chains and get them in second and third and longs. And really in all three games, it's been pretty good at that, with just its ability to, it's a top 25 team in stuff rate, which I think gets lost with, okay, you see the big runs, and for good reason, that takes up a lot of the oxygen, but still the ability to stuff run plays and be successful on first down. I think we've seen them pretty good at, especially against Toledo, where even after some big Toledo plays, it would get in the red zone and then a first down negative run, or even Purdue, same kind of situation where you get a first down negative run or an incomplete pass with some pressure, and it immediately puts them off schedule and on an unsuccessful play. So that kind of identity for it, I think, has always been there, which is a defense that brings a lot of pressure, disguises well, and is going to generate some havoc. And big plays might be there on occasion, and maybe even a little bit more frequently than they were under Clark Lee's defense. But if you're able to mitigate that with consistent havoc plays, you get what you saw out of the defense in that game against Purdue. Whereas if there's bad tackling and a couple of bad angles that give up like big plays like those 60 yarders, it becomes a little bit of a wash, and that's how you get in those kind of precarious situations like they were in the first 2 weeks.
And we're here with Patrick Engel from Blue and Gold Illustrated, our rivals, cousins that cover Notre Dame athletics for on the Rivals Network. Patrick, too, I was going to say, looking at maybe a player in particular, your X factor. For me, I'm going to talk about it later in the show. I'm going to say inside linebacker Leo Chenal, who Paul Chris, the head coach of Wisconsin, mentioned that, you know, he foresees him on Monday when I asked him, he foresaw Chenal to be a full go for both practice and for the game on Saturday and whatnot. And him and Jack Sanborn could be quite the combo in terms of getting pressure on the quarterback, you know, on Saturday. But from the Notre Dame standpoint, who do you feel will be the X factor for the Fighting Irish when they're inside Soldier Field?
I really think it's Jack Cohn. And mainly because I don't see Notre Dame being able to run the ball too effectively, given its offensive line problems and given the defense it's facing. Like you mentioned a couple of those Wisconsin linebackers in the front seven. Like that's a whole different bear than what it's faced through three games this year. It's hard to just see how all of a sudden in this game, even with the freshman quarterback Tyler Buckner package, and if he busts a 20-yard run or something, where there's enough of a run threat to where that's a way they can consistently move the ball. And that really puts it on Cone's shoulders and in the receiver's shoulders. And I guess when you look at Wisconsin's defense, the secondary is by no means bad, but certainly not the strength when compared to that front seven and one that we saw have a couple of breakdowns in that game against Penn State. So, and Notre Dame's got good pass catchers that have allowed that vertical offense to really show up. Kevin Austin, Braden Lindsey, really tough cover guys who have an element of physicality and run after the catch of their game. And then Michael Mayer is good a tight end as you'll find in the country, that if he's being targeted heavily and in single coverage, really, really hard for anybody to guard him. And if he is attracting double teams like he did a lot against Purdue, that opens up some things for other receivers, mainly Avery Davis, the slot receiver. He had single coverage because of a attention to Mayer when he caught a 62-yard touchdown last week. So, but really, it's on Cone to kind of shake off a game that really wasn't his best, to be able to feel pressure a little bit better than he has in these first few games and keep himself upright, or do his part in keeping himself upright with shaky and inconsistent pass protection a little bit around him, and just be able to hit enough of those shot plays and deliver them on target. Even though there weren't too many of them against Purdue, when you count them up, they tried, and there were open ones there that he missed, or there were drops. And in a game that we think is going to be low scoring, all it really matters just if you can hit, say, three of those more than the batting average on those, where if it takes you 10 tries to hit three and one of them is a 60-yard touchdown in a game that might be 20-17, that makes a pretty big difference. And if another is a 45-yarder that sets up a field goal or sets up a first and goal, that's, again, a big difference. So I really think it's Jack Cohn being able to make a couple of big throws and help generate and put the ball on the money on a couple of downfield shots if Notre Dame's going to want to score and end up in that high teens to low 20s points range if it wants to have a shot at winning.
Patrick, one last question before we let you go for the day, before I see you down in Chicago in, again, less than 48 hours. What's one thing that could change the complexion of the game from your standpoint when seeing both of these teams?
Yeah, I think there was we spoke with Brian Kelly earlier today, Thursday, and he was asked to address some rumors about nose tackle Kurt Heinisch's status, and didn't say that they ruled him out, but the opportunity was there for him to say, he's good. I don't know where these rumors came from. He's playing. And that wasn't what he said. So we'll see. And if that's the case, that's a big deal against a team that really wants to run the ball and can run it well like Wisconsin does. And Heinisch is really big for them as their starting nose tackle, is with his ability to take up double teams, his first step quickness, that Notre Dame has the defensive line depth to replace him. But he's still a guy they trust to play a lot of snaps as a fifth-year senior who's really, really skilled at being able to occupy space and become more of a backfield disruptor in recent seasons. So that would be, I think, a meaningful absence if, in fact, that's not he is not able to play for Notre Dame this weekend.
Patrick, as always, man, it's been great talking with you over the summer when we did our Q&A series. We had a great Q&A. You gave some great answers earlier this week on BadgerBlitz.com. Guys, go check that out, both on our website and then also in our Game Center that we have our collection of articles all conveniently centralized in one thread for you, for everybody. But Patrick, what else is going on for y'all over at Blue and Gold? What can fans expect from your coverage?
Yeah, we you know, it's our usual 56-page magazine that we put out the day after the game, and a lot of that shows up online after the game, of course. 11 a.m. local kick, big for that. We go to sleep at a reasonable hour, but yeah, we've had some things up on this game, and then just on Notre Dame's specific developments here this week. I've got my usual Friday column that comes out on Friday mornings, where I kind of take a look at the question I've been wondering with both of these teams is, how do they move the ball against each other? Where that's why I keep thinking low scoring game or 20-17 Wisconsin has been the pick I've been going with all week, even though I feel like over the course of the week I've sort of talked myself into being a little less confident in that. But mainly, I think it comes down to, I'm still not quite sure what Notre Dame is. But, and then that's kind of something we've explored all week. But yeah, blueandgold.com, myself and my colleague Tyler Horka will be on scene on Saturday for what should be a fun game.
Patrick, thanks so much for your time, my friend. Folks, we're going to take a quick break, pay some bills with some ads, as always, because we like to get paid for that matter. We'll come back. I'll give my keys to the game, my X factor that I already mentioned, here on the BadgerBlitz.com podcast, powered by Overtime Media.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome back to the BadgerBlitz.com podcast, of course, brought to you by Overtime Media. I'm Jake Okorowski, senior writer at Badger Blitz as part of the Rivals Network, and thank you all for tuning in. Big thanks to Patrick Engel from blueandgold.com. And just to make sure that everyone knows, too, it's they have blueandgold.com, which is part of the Rivals Network. It's the website you see, you know, you go to notredame.rivals.com. Blue and Gold shows up. They also have Blue and Gold Illustrated, which is the magazine that Patrick alluded to earlier. So a lot of great content from our friends on the Rivals Network. Subscribe, because if you subscribe to BadgerBlitz.com, let me just tell you as well, not only do you get premium access to whatever's on BadgerBlitz.com, but you also get the chance to take a look at some of the premium discussions taking place over at other sites like blueandgold.com or The Wolverine, which is coming up next week. And Chris and others at The Wolverine doing a magnificent job over there. So again, make sure you go to notredame.rivals.com, blueandgold.com for more from Patrick, Tyler, Mike Singer. They have a great YouTube channel too, with a lot of streaming, a lot of great content there. So check out everything over there. And on that note, we'll get to my three keys of the game. Big thanks again to everyone listening on the show. Let's talk the first key to me. And this is kind of a precursor or a sneak peek to my three keys that I give that'll be on the site Saturday morning. But as I'm starting to write it, I'm up. Our pre-snap read is what we call it. And three keys that we have, that I have right now for the game. We'll start with number one. Create havoc in the backfield for Notre Dame. And really simple reason why. Wisconsin, even though they only have 2 sacks per game, they have been credited with 28 pressures according to Pro Football Focus. And so the pressure has been there. And they've been able to create havoc already against Penn State and against Eastern Michigan. However, they do need to get home to the quarterbacks and create more plays that way. They've had 13 tackles for loss in two games already. That's big for Wisconsin there. They thrive on that. It's what helped lead them to, you know, being one of the best in the nation in third down, percentage, third down conversions allowed. They have only allowed 20.8%, I believe, of the third downs that they've, had to take care of. And, you know, through three games or two games, I should say, they have had 7 3 and outs each game. So 14 altogether when facing Penn State and Eastern Michigan. So that's going to be a big key. Notre Dame, on that matter, has given up at least four sacks in each of their first three games. Their stat sheet show 15 in terms of their cumulative team stats going into the season. Although when you add up the game logs, it's kind of a weird thing. I'm just qualifying this that it looks like they had only 14 sacks given up, but still, again, that's why I've used the stat. They've given up at least four in each of the first three games of the year with that offensive line. That offensive line also hasn't been able to get the run game going and whatnot, and that's going to be a key for Wisconsin. Always tries to get their run game, stuff opponents' run game. They've been successful. They're number one in the nation in rushing yards allowed at only 33 per game in their first two contests. That's going to be a key matchup there. Stuff the run and then just pin your ears back and see what happens with Nick Herbig, Keanu Benton, Matt Henningsen, and then, of course, inside Leo Chanel, who's returning. He'll play in his first game, it appears, going forward. And then Jack Sanborn. Even on the edge, I'm wondering what the secondary does and what Jim Leonard dials up in terms of pulling the safeties or corners off the edges too. More on that, but it will be interesting to see just who gets pressure and just if on top of that, this key really goes into turnovers because Wisconsin has not really created sudden change moments except for the one interception in the second half against Eastern Michigan, which it translated to points off that Dante Burton interception. So to me, that is huge. Sudden change plays will be significant on both sides. Wisconsin's defense has that opportunity. They have the pressure to make it happen. It will just be, once getting home, can they create fumbles? Can they create errant passes from the arm of Jack Cohn? And can they capitalize from there? So going forward, that's my first key. The second key for this game for Wisconsin, in my eyes, establishing the run. Notre Dame gave up 264 yards rushing against Florida State in week one. They have improved against Toledo and Purdue, where giving up 124 yards against the Rockets and then 57 against the Boilermakers. That being said, Toledo had runs of 67 and 26 yards. The latter 26-yard run went for a touchdown in week two. Against Purdue, that to me, that's not necessarily the greatest sign because Purdue is not known as a running team. On top of that, they're missing Xander Horvath, their starting running back. And so holding them to 57 yards on less than 3 yards per carry, that for a team that likes to throw, and Purdue threw for over 290 yards against the Fighting Irish last weekend. This is going to be a different line that they're going to face. I think Wisconsin's going to have the opportunity to run the ball, and there are three running backs that Notre Dame will have to defend in Ches Malusi, Jalen Berger, Isaac Garendo. Those three, I think, can provide nice complementary skill sets to each other. And, I think Wisconsin's going to have a chance to run the ball. For that matter, I think Notre Dame's averaging, they're allowing just over 145 yards per game on the ground with their recent performances. But I think Wisconsin has that chance to grind down the game and, create a time of possession disadvantage with long drives. But it's going to have to establish a run. And I don't mean to overdo that because they are going to have to pass the ball. This is going to be a game where we'll see what Graham Mertz and that passing attack can do. You saw, in my eyes, a better look for Wisconsin in that aerial attack against Eastern Michigan compared to Penn State, both pass protection wise, where, you know, if I'm not mistaken, Pro Football Focus credited Penn State with 16 pressures against Mertz, which made him feel uncomfortable. And, you know, he had a rough outing against the Nittany Lions in the season opener and throwing those two fourth quarter interceptions. And obviously the red zone troubles. We'll get to the red zone troubles in my third key later. But I feel Wisconsin now, you know, with this passing attack, they'll have to keep the Notre Dame defense honest. We'll see just how they get Graham Mertz rolling and that offense rolling in the passing game and just timing and location, etc. But I think Wisconsin has an opportunity to really, you know, to move the ball, and we'll see what strides they've made in that bye week and just what they unveil against the Fighting Irish coming up on Saturday. But I think it all does start with the run. It's the bread and butter of the Wisconsin offense. They have three capable backs of doing so. Again, the line, depending upon which combinations Joe Rudolph and Paul Christ use, they will have to dominate and whatnot. I think the ground game will be key for the Badgers' success on Saturday. The third key in all this, in this game, really, in my eyes, folks, is for Wisconsin converting in the red zone and converting on third down. And I'll put those two together. It has not been a good start to Wisconsin that they are ranked as of was yesterday, 128th in the nation in red zone offense, converting just 5 of 10 opportunities. That needs to change. And this could be a good week to start for Wisconsin. Why? Because, you know, really you can't have what you saw against Penn State where Wisconsin converted on just 1 of 4 red zone chances, where one score changes the entire outcome of the game and the win-loss column quite possibly as well. You saw improvements against Eastern Michigan where they converted on 4 or 6 opportunities. However, they still left points, you know, on, you know, off the board there where Ches Malusi gets stuffed at the goal line, at the 1 yard line on a 4th down run on the first offensive series for Wisconsin back on September 11th. But then also Chase Wolf drives it. I know it's just the reserves, but Chase Wolf, you know, short arms a throw, gets picked off by an Eastern Michigan defensive back and has returned 98 yards for a touchdown, where it looked like it was going to be points on the board there. Another comfortable win for Wisconsin there, where, you know, 34-7 is still comfortable. To me, I felt the score did not represent what happened during the game, where Wisconsin really just overwhelmed overall, and there wasn't not a lot of flair with the offensive game plan for Wisconsin besides just stuffing the ball and just in terms of stuffing the ball down the Eagles' throat and rolling over them in the running game. But really, with this game going on, Wisconsin needs to convert inside the 20-yard line, get points on the board. To me, this is going to be a low-scoring game. I'll give my prediction in just a little bit, but I think in my eyes, it's going to be a very low-scoring game there. When it comes to third down, conversions, Wisconsin only is converting 36.4% of their third down opportunities. That needs to change as well. They need to move the chains against Northwestern. Well, that'll be down the road this year, but Notre Dame, they need to take care, of that down and is improved. I mean, Paul Christ called it out during the post-game press conference on Saturday. For that matter, Notre Dame needs to, and that, by the way, for Paul, that was the post-game press conference against Eastern Michigan. But Notre Dame's allowing about 37% of their opponents to move the chains on third down. So it's going to be a matchup where Wisconsin needs to, again, move the chains, get long drives going. That could be through the run, through the pass, somehow quarterback keepers, but on that third down, convert, keep the chains moving, and then on top of that, once they get inside the 20, capitalize, get points. The one thing I would say is a positive out of the 5 scoring opportunities they have capitalized on in the red zone, 4 have been touchdowns. I don't know if settling for field goals will be it, will be a positive sign against Notre Dame this week. But again, getting in the end zone and getting 6 points on the board, hopefully 7 with the extra point, will be huge in Soldier Field on Saturday. So got a couple more minutes. My X factor, already teased it. when I was talking to Patrick Engel from blueandgold.com, was inside linebacker Leo Chanel. And again, Paul Christ, when I asked him this week if he felt that Leo Chanel would be full go for both practices and for the game on Saturday, he said, we do. That will be huge because pairing with Sanborn, those are, and nothing against Mike Mascalunas too, because I thought he played very well replacing Chanel. Chanel during fall camp had a phenomenal set of practices that when, you know, for those that we viewed as the media, it seemed like every practice he was making some way into the backfield, causing disruptions at 6'2", 260-ish. Chanel, you know, obviously is a freak athletically. It will be interesting to see how he looks in his first game back. And his, you know, after, you know, he announced on Instagram that on September 4th that morning that he had tested positive for COVID-19 and that he would miss the next two games. And it appears that he will be back. He was on the depth chart this week for the Notre Dame game. You know, he was not listed on the preliminary status report that Wisconsin gave out on Monday as well. So, you know, he's back as, you know, on the depth chart as a first team inside linebacker right next to Jack Sanborn. If, you know, and Colton Bartholomew from the Wisconsin State Journal was on this show, you know, just a few weeks ago talking about how he felt that he would be surprised if Chanel didn't get 10 sacks. There's just a presence about him where whether tackle for loss or getting the, you know, getting to the quarterback, I think he'll be able to make an impact and create more sudden change opportunities for Wisconsin in terms of takeaways. You know, and I think that he could be a big impact in making Jack Cohn feel very, very uncomfortable and also stuffing that run game that, you know, again, has not been a strong suit for the Fighting Irish so far this year. So that's mine. And of course, Patrick mentioned Jack Cohn because he mentioned the run game wasn't great for Notre Dame too. So we're on the same wavelength there. Now we'll just see what transpires on Saturday and hopefully everyone be safe, be well this weekend coming up. You know, we'll have more from BadgerBlitz.com. Coming up, obviously post-game coverage for this week, even but pre-game coverage, we'll have a couple more articles. I'm going to tease this out. I spoke with Travian Blaylock on, was it Monday afternoon? I'll have an article up tomorrow on Friday at some point, just discussing just his journey. It was a great chat with him. So I'll have that up on the site coming up on Friday. And then we'll have our three keys to the game, our game predictions. Right now I'll go 23-17 Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin wins. I think it'll be close. I don't think there's gonna be a lot of points involved. So, I think, but you know, Wisconsin's gonna have to show that they can convert on third down, convert in the red zone, get points up on the board that way. So, on that note, y'all follow us on Twitter at @Badger_Blitz, Facebook, Wisconsin Badgers on BadgerBlitz.com. For me, at Jake Coco, K-O-C-O, for this podcast, please subscribe. We got a lot of good things going on with this. Apple, Spotify, Google, etc. And then on top of that, too, we'll take it home with this way, too. Like our YouTube channel, please subscribe there. We're nearing 500 subscribers. We're shooting for 1,000 by the end of the year. We got all post-game interviews up on that site, either in 1080p or 4K. If you have a nice smart TV, we're trying to, I'm working through that technologically. There may be more coming from our YouTube channel as well as a kind of a teaser for what could come in October as we're working through some things and hopefully a launch of a an interesting, I think, another way to cover Wisconsin. On that note, folks, guys, y'all have a great weekend. We'll see you next week here on the BadgerBlitz.com podcast, powered by Overtime Media.